Well, good morning.
Morning.
I will tell you, I'm very happy to bring you the message this morning. And of course, you know, I have been asked to provide you with an update on our future building and also to set the stage for the upcoming building fund campaign. And while that is true, there's no doubt about it, the message I intend to bring you today is much, much more serious than a new building and those fundraising efforts to build it. The message today concerns the very life of this church and our individual responsibilities, yours and mine, related to our future. But before I talk about our future, I'm going to regress a little bit. And I want to talk about the present, today, you know, our daily lives, next week, next month, those things that each of us, that we like to do, you know, in our normal day. Besides the responsibilities of life, what are the things you enjoy? It's different for all of us. For me, being that ADHD person, other initials people have given me, I have lots of interests. I like to fish. I love to turkey hunt and, you know, I'm pretty good at that. I love to read, and I collect rare books. Kathy and I, we share a passion to travel, as well as a passion for antique period furniture, and we both collect fine antique 1890s hand-painted porcelain. I'm an avid sports fan. Hold the applause. I'm a great Gator fan. And finally, I love my job. I'm a builder, and I've been very blessed to build some very large buildings and some very nice bridges. My dad was also a builder, and in fact, he told me a story one time. He was in his 80s, and he said, son, he said, you know, I just thought I was getting old when I saw them tearing my buildings down. But I knew I was getting old when I saw them tearing my boys' buildings down. Today, I'm not going to talk to you about building a building. I'm going to bring you a message about building Christ's church. I'm going to jump around some, and now I'm going to jump to Matthew 3, 11 and 12. And I'm going to read that for you. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into his barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Burning up the chaff. What does that have to do with those things I was just talking about, much less building a new building? Well, remember those things I just mentioned that I really enjoy? On their own, friends, there's nothing wrong with that. We all need a hobby. We all need a break. We need a way to get away from that everyday life. But let me tell you the truth. When I die, when I take that last breath, those things that I can be pretty selfish and passionate about on a day in and day out basis, I can't take them with me. They're all chaff. Every one of them. Just like my dad's buildings. And now some of mine, they're torn down. And they're gone. They're useless. I cannot take any of those things with me to heaven, and I promise you, Jesus is not going to meet me and say, well done, you good fishing, hunting, book collecting, traveling, furniture loving, avid sports fan. Nope. Not going to happen. Passionate chaff. The title of this message today is passion, real passion. I know of no better example of passion than God's example, the passion of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God so loved us that he sent his only Son to die for us. Passion. Jesus prepared his disciples for what was to come. He predicted his betrayal, and then he was betrayed. He stood before the high priest, he stood before the Sanhedrin, and he stood before Pilate. Passion. He allowed the flesh to be ripped and torn from his back. He was severely beaten. He had thorns driven into his head. He was spat upon. And even when he could have called down angels to set him free, he allowed a guilty man to go free instead of him. That's passion. He allowed something like this to be driven through his hands and his feet. A spear was jammed into his side. That's passion. He poured out his innocent blood, and he died for you and for me and for every man, woman, and child who has ever lived to save us from our sins. Being without sin, he took the sin of the entire world to the grave and buried it for eternity. And he rose from that grave. He ascended into heaven. He sits at the right hand of the Father. He sent us the Holy Spirit. That, my friends, is God's passion. He gave it all. That's the example of passion. Now let's go on an adventure together. Let's go on an adventure into the future. An adventure that we can all go on together. An adventure of passion. An adventure of building a temple. Building a place of worship. Not just a building. Not just a church. Not our house. But the house of the Lord. Now, I'm not a person that's good at remembering what a particular chapter or verse of the Bible says. For instance, if you walked up to me right now and said, what does it say in Acts 3:11? I wouldn't know. I'm ashamed to say that. I would have to go look it up. And the Lord has not typically given me in my daily life a particular book or a chapter or verse and said, go read this. It's just not the way he speaks to me. So that is why when I woke up early one morning about 6 months ago, and my mind was filled without doubt, 1 Kings 5, I knew it was important, and I knew it was from the Lord. I had not one clue what it said. And honestly, I did have a little of that, I'm going to call it Old Testament apprehension. But I knew it was from God, and I knew it was important. Before I looked it up, I told Kathy what the Lord had given me. I went straight to my Bible, and I opened it to 1 Kings 5, and the subtitle was The Preparation for the Building of the Temple. I knew it was a word from the Lord, both to me and to the Church of the Messiah. I read the entire chapter, and there is no question in my mind, now is the time to prepare for building the temple. 1 Kings 5 is not about building the temple. It's about the preparation. And as soon as I read it, and hear me, I instantly remembered the word of the Lord that he has been sending us through Drew every week almost. Week after week after week. I don't know when we're going to finally hear it. My children, listen. It's time. Listen. Go forth. The time is now. Stop waiting. Go forth. I guess y'all just saw what popped up. I can get passionate about building the house of the Lord. I can get passionate about preparing for the temple as He leads us, as He provides for us, and as He has been telling us repeatedly. I can get passionate about worshiping in this church that you see on the property on St. John's Bluff Road. I can get passionate about building a church where we can grow. In yellow, what you will see is a sanctuary that will seat about 160 people. There's sufficient space there for everything we need, for our babies, for our toddlers, for our children, for our youth, a kitchen, meeting space, administrative offices. I can get passionate about that. What you see now is the site plan. That's the property on St. John's Bluff Road. On the far right side and at the lower end in the kind of reddish color, that is the building, that's the floor plan you saw. I can get passionate about having the opportunity to grow as the Lord leads us even further. Someday, converting that red space into a fellowship hall, building a larger sanctuary behind that, and plenty of room to grow however He leads us. Now is the time to prepare. There is no doubt in my mind. Now I know what you're thinking. I got it. How much is that going to cost? How are we ever going to raise all that money, however much it is? How are we going to do that? How long is it going to take? Those are great questions. I hope to answer every one of them. The church building that you saw will cost between $1.1 and $1.2 million to design it and to build it. We currently own the land free and clear. We have about $60,000 in our building fund at this time, and our current goal, what I'd like you to focus on in order to get started, is to raise $340,000. That's our goal. Together with what we have, that will take us to about $400,000. And with that, we can get the architectural, the structural, the electrical, the civil, and mechanical design underway. That design phase will take about 4 months. It will cost about $80,000. The bidding phase will take another month or so. And then the permitting will add one more month. Of course, we will continue to raise funds. And at some point, we may have to go to the bank for a loan to complete what we need. Now, I pray we don't. I pray we raise enough to do it without that. I pray the Lord gives us all the money we need. Once we begin construction, that building phase in itself will take 9 to 10 months to complete. So that represents a total of about 15 to 16 months after we start design until we complete the construction. But to get to that first phase, we need to raise the $340,000. And to do that, we need to initiate a fundraising campaign. Okay, I got your questions now. How are we going to do that? Thank you for asking. As you have probably figured out by now, our fundraising campaign is going to revolve around passion. It's not going to revolve around brick and mortar, nor dividing up the debt equally among everyone sitting here, or asking you to stand up and tell everyone what you're going to sacrifice. That's not it. It's going to be centered upon each and every one of us and our passion to go where the Lord leads us, for our taking Him to the world day by day, one person at a time. The rollout of the Building Fund campaign will be based upon Christ's passion for us and now our passion for Him. Here's how we're going to prepare for building the temple. It must start with unshakable faith. Our individual belief in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord is a part of our every day, our every minute. We have to believe that. And if we really believe, I mean really believe it, if we believe He is who we confess He is, then we must take Him to our neighbors. That's what we have to do. If you love the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength, and you really love your neighbor as yourself, how can you not take the Lord to your neighbor? All of the commandments are based upon these two conditions of your heart and my heart. We, as the Church of the Messiah, must be passionate enough in our belief to take the good news to our neighbors. Next, we must fast and pray. Fasting and praying must be a cornerstone of our lifestyle. Don't simply do it on special occasions. Not just when you're in trouble, or not just when you're rejoicing, but when we learn to pray without ceasing and fast as the Lord leads us, individual, family, and corporate prayer. Excuse me, I said that wrong. Individual, family, and corporate prayer and fasting must be the foundation of our going forward. Passionate prayer and obedient fasting can change the world, and it will build the body of Christ. Next, we must make the decision that we will trust the Lord with His tithe, the whole tithe. We must understand that to do anything less is to rob from the Lord. I am here to tell you right now that when we trust the Lord with our tithes, there will be plenty of food in the house. The windows of heaven will be opened. The blessings will be poured out upon us until they overflow. The devourer will be rebuked, and all nations will call us blessed. Amen. We have to be passionate in our tithe. You want to know how to build a church? Let's ask Jesus how to build a church. He asked Peter 3 times if he loved him. And 3 times he told Peter, "Feed my sheep. Upon this rock I will build my church," is how Jesus drew up his plans. And the call to feed his sheep is still the right plan for us today. When are we going to get passionate about looking after the orphans? What will it take for this body to help the widows and feed the hungry? What is it going to take? There are those out there who are sick and in need. How long am I going to walk on the opposite side of the road? Prisoners crave for us to visit them. Thank you. They crave for us to bring them the gospel. The naked, they go on in shame. The thirsty, they watch us drink. We will build the temple when we feed his sheep. What are you called to do? What am I called to do? Are you to have a home group that meets in your house every week? Do it. Are you to join a prison ministry? Do it. Are you to lead a mission? How about visit a university with the good news? The Lord knows they need it. Are you to buy a homeless person a meal? Hey, maybe you should sit down and enjoy that meal with them. Amen. Take clothing, maybe not old clothing, Take clothing to the needy, and while you're there, befriend them. Participate with Fusion and change the lives of our young adults. Lay hands on the sick and introduce them to Jesus Christ. My friends, I really want you to listen. This is about the life and the death of this church. Are we all happy just living out our lives, knowing we're saved? Being satisfied with seeing each other every Sunday morning? If that's satisfaction, well, let's all decide right now to accept that. Let's not go forth. Let's not listen. Let's just keep waiting. Let's die right here when each and every one of our times comes. But that is not who we are. We have all seen His glory fall. We have had successful prayer groups, home groups, prison ministries, foreign missions, food pantries, inner healing ministries, and citywide outreaches. We are the army of God. We are the body of Christ. And with a building, I'm telling you, it is a lie that if you build it, they will just come. It is true that if you feed them, they will come. The world is in dire need of a Savior, and we must feed His sheep. If we feed His sheep, they're going to need a place to worship. As we take Christ to our neighbors, they're going to need a place to praise the Lord. They will all need to be taught the Word, to be set free from their burdens, to be saved, to receive the Holy Spirit, and participate in the remembrance of Him through the body and the blood. They are not coming if we don't ask them. They're not. Each and every one of us must be empowered. Rather, we must be passionate to invite our friends, our acquaintances, our co-workers, and even our complete strangers to come to church with us. What is the Lord telling each one of us to give to the building fund? That's the question we must all ask Him. What is my part, Lord? When the Lord tells us what to do, whether it be a weekly gift or monthly or a one-time gift, large or small, whatever the Lord tells us, that is what I, or me, whoever's the English teacher, must be willing to give. It's not about equal giving. It's about individually hearing from the Lord and being obedient. And finally, ushers, it's not about a church building, but it's about building His church. Right now, we're going to hand a card to each and every one here. If you're a man, a woman, a young adult, or a teen, please take one. If you're a child and you want one, please raise your hand. By all means, take one. We've got right here. Let's look at the side with the writing on it. Let's look at that side first. There's about seven items that summarize our fundraising campaign. And just for your information, the sermons that our fathers are going to bring us over the next year or so, you're going to hear a message from these items. Here is how we're going to raise $340,000. You want to fill this sanctuary right here? Do we want to fill it? Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want to have to go to two services because this sanctuary won't hold everybody in one? Fast and pray diligently. Do you want the Lord to pour out His blessings and his bounty on you until they overflow, and likewise upon this body? Tithe. Would you like to build his church upon the rock of all ages? Feed his sheep. You want to see people get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to watch our teens get active and excited about Christ? You want to send missions to the lost and have an abundance of young adults coming up to replace old folks like me? Bring people to church with you. And do you want to see the Lord grow our building fund to the levels needed to build that church way over there? Make the items above on that list, make those a part of your life and give everything to the building fund that the Lord tells you to do. And together we will do it. And before we build that church over there, we're going to have to build the church right here.
That's right.
We're going to officially kick off the building fund, the fundraising campaign in a few weeks. I think maybe three. If you wish to make an offering today, well, by all means, do so. If the Lord directs you as an amount, up to and including all of it, please, please place that in the basket today when the normal tithes and offerings are being collected. In fact, I can tell you that I spoke with Bishop Simpson this week about today's message, and he sent us $1,000 to kick us off. Praise God. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do over the next 3 weeks, and that is to keep this card, and I want every one of you to have one, keep it with you. Keep it close to you is a better way to say it. Keep it in your Bible or in your car or on your refrigerator or on your mirror or wherever you will see it every day. And I want you to ask yourself, but more importantly, ask the Lord, which one of these items can I commit to? There's not many. My prayer, my personal prayer is going to be that I can commit to every one of them. And my prayer for you is that you can commit to every one of them as well. I believe that is the commitment the Lord is asking us to make. I'm going to close with this. Is our goal to build a building that eventually falls? Or is it to build the body of Christ that has eternal consequences? Are we going forth? Are we staying behind? Are we living or are we dying? We know Christ's passion for us. We know what that is. What is our passion? Passionate chaff or passion for Christ? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.